I wanted to begin by starting just to thank Father Mike and all of you for the kind invitation to come and to lead your mission. I'm greatly humbled and honored to be part of the 150th anniversary celebrations of this great parish. I also want to say I feel like I'm always home when I come to Indiana. I was born in Indianapolis, actually, and my grandparents lived between St. Paul's and Adams. And when I come back, I get a chance to see the greatest uncles and aunts anyone could ever dream of seeing and knowing, my family. And my mom lives here now. And so I want to thank you as well for your kind welcome. She loves St. Joe's and St. Vincent's. And so I'm glad to be able to give something back to you all for your kindness and this wonderful place I call a second home. And I'll promise to do my best. I want to start off by talking a little bit about our readings today. The book of the prophet Daniel is an example that we have in Scripture of something called apocalyptic literature. And this is a whole genre, a whole type of literature that we kind of see sprinkled throughout the Bible. But it's very foreign to us. We don't really quite, I think, understand exactly what it is. And just looking at the word apocalyptic, if we look at it in the Greek, it actually literally translates as pulling back the veil. And so apocalyptic literature is always going to be a type of literature that is going to look behind something on the surface. It's going to pull back the veil and reveal to us truths. Truths that come from dreams and visions and strange kind of sayings. That this type of literature shows us, what is this talking about? What does this really mean for us? That's apocalyptic literature. You know, if we translate that into Latin, it means revelation. And that's why the last book of our Bible is called the Book of Revelation. It is the perfect example of apocalyptic type of literature. And it is notoriously hard to read and to understand. My very first year in the priesthood, I did a lot of prison ministry. And I remember one day, one of the inmates came right before Mass, and he literally threw the Bible back at me. And I caught it, and he said, "I'm not reading that book ever again." And I said, "Well, what are you reading? What are you studying?" He said, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." And I said, "Aha, don't read that book." I said, "Here, take it back and start reading some of the Gospels. Why don't you start with Mark's Gospel?" Sure enough, next week he came back and said, "Okay, I like the Bible much better now." You know, Daniel is an interpreter of dreams and visions. It's a small book, and it's worth a read to kind of see how brilliant he is in kind of explaining some very strange dreams and visions throughout his ministry. He pulls back the veil, and he reveals the meaning behind mysterious dreams and visions that people tell him or that he hears from God. And I think these visions often make us think of apocalyptic literature as meaning the end of time, that it's talking always about the end of time. And there is certain elements of this type of writing that does lead us to think about the end of time. It makes sense that this is the 33rd Sunday in ordinary time. Jesus lived 33 years. This is the last Sunday in ordinary time. And then we go into Feast of Christ the King, and then the holy season of Advent. As the liturgical year ends, the church asks us as a community to reflect on the end of all time. Not just the end of liturgical time, but the end of time, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so our gospel from Mark today sounds very apocalyptic, doesn't it? It says, "The Son of Man is coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds." This is very reminiscent of the book of Revelation or the prophet Daniel. And Jesus speaks to us of the immediacy of this revelation and that it will come true sooner than you realize. "It is at the gates," he says. "It is immediate. This generation will experience it," he says. But in the very same breath, Jesus also says that no one knows the hour. Not the angels, not the Son, only the Father. And I think this leaves us with a sense of paradox that what is Jesus trying to get across to us in the gospel? Apocalyptic literature about the end of the world. And it's coming right away. It's at the gates. But nobody knows when exactly it'll be. How do we reconcile those two facts of our gospel? I think we can only be left with a sense of radical urgency. The only thing that we know from our gospel is that every heartbeat that we have, every breath we take, every second that goes by brings us closer to the end of time and the second coming of our Lord Jesus, and that it could be the very next breath, the very next heartbeat, the very next second that could come. This urgency is what we should be left with. You know, we all seem to have great intentions about being the person that God desires us to be, to dream about being the person who is able to pray as much as we really would like, to forgive that person that we've been holding back forgiveness from being the virtuous individual and rooting out sin and addictions and struggles in our lives, and to give our Lord Jesus everything, our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are filled with good intentions to be able to do so. But we often take the approach of one of my favorite saints, Saint Augustine, who famously once prayed, "Lord, make me chaste, just not yet." Later on, he prayed, "Late have I loved you, beauty ever ancient, ever new." You see, he came to realize this truth. And the truth is this: now is the time. Right now is the time to realize the dreams that we have for ourselves and the dream that God has for you. That you can become the man and woman that God so earnestly desires you to be. And it's easy to think, "I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. It's on my bucket list." But the sense of urgency in our gospel today will not allow you to hold that thought. It needs to be the next heartbeat. It needs to be the next breath. This would be true even if we weren't celebrating your parish's 150th year, or if we weren't about to enter into a most powerful time of 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration, or even if we weren't ready to enter into our parish mission. But the fact is, all of these things are coming together. And so this moment is made even more appropriate, even made more good for us to make that recommitment of ourselves right here at this very Mass, at this moment, to invite Him in an ever deeper way, more intimately into our lives as you are about ready to receive Him in the Eucharist. For those who are already strong in their faith and those who know the Lord, I want to be here during this mission to be a help for you to find new ways to grow closer and to even fortify and strengthen your faith. For those of you here who might be lukewarm in your faith or have doubts, I pray that this mission will catch you on fire for Jesus Christ like never before. These are the people that I'm preaching to in this choir of the church. But we have to also be aware that there are many others, most especially our family members, our children and young adults, our college students and others who may not be here today, and we don't know how to bring them back to the Church of Jesus Christ. I pray earnestly that during this mission, we will discover ways to help them to come home into the loving embrace of our God. You know, along with being the chaplain for Towson University, our largest state school in Baltimore, I'm also the chaplain for the Baltimore Orioles. So I know what it's like to despair. I know. But I'm here to bring hope. And I'm here to bring hope to us to say we can win people back. We can change the world. We can bring them home to our embrace. Trust me. I know that we can do it. But there's another reason that we hear in Scripture today of why we need to act on these desires in our hearts right now to be holy. And that is that our personal sanctification and the power that it has in our world. You know, my dad passed away not too long ago. In fact, we're celebrating Mass for him today. This is a Mass is dedicated to him. And his favorite quote was based on a plaque at the Notre Dame University locker room. That's where he went to school. And it says, "Play like a champion today." And everybody would slap it as they go out into the field. He changed the first word to pray. "Pray like a champion today" was a great saying of his, and we put it actually on his tombstone. My mom's favorite quote is, "Keep your expectations at zero." It's a phrase that I've always disdained, but have come to realize her wisdom later on in life. My favorite quote is, "Shoot for the moon and you will fall amongst the stars." Another way to translate that is, be radical in your pursuit for holiness and you will be a saint. Daniel, in today's reading, says, "But the wise shall shine brightly in the firmament, and those who lead those to justice will be like the stars in the heavens." We must shine brightly, brothers and sisters, in the darkness of our world, in the troubles of our church. It will lead many to justice. And we will be like the saints our world desperately needs today. The need is urgent. The time is now. My job was once described as getting people on the bus to heaven. And I will be held accountable if I drive up to the gates of heaven with an empty bus. God will say, "Turn around. You can't come in here with nobody." That is the fact for all of us. We all need to draw others to Christ. Besides all of the talks that we give this mission, I am convinced that our personal holiness, our witness, and our time spent praying before Jesus in Eucharistic adoration will be by far the greatest thing that we can do together during as a parish during these next few days and hopefully far beyond. So please join us for our 40 hours. There is a huge blackboard in the back. It's filling up with some great times to adore our Lord. If you've never had the experience of in the wee hours of the morning, waking up and driving to church and just being by yourself with our Lord Jesus, it is a special time and a gift. And I ask you to maybe give it a try, this mission talk. So please sign up in the back of our church. Then every night, Sunday night, tonight, Monday night, and Tuesday night, we will have a mission talk and evening prayer at 7 p.m. We will be using the text from the Emmaus story in Luke's Gospel. And we will be talking about, first, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and how to have one. We will then talk about the power of confession and Eucharistic adoration, and how to pray the Mass. And finally, our last night together, we will talk about in depth about conversion and how to help our loved ones, especially our youth, to follow Jesus Christ. But again, I repeat, nothing is more important than our prayer together with Jesus. You might even want to fast a little bit during these days, especially as we lead up to Thanksgiving. For the more that you fast, the more turkey and stuffing you'll be able to eat. My dear friends, I hope that you will join us for this celebration of our 150th year. The time is not tomorrow. The time is not later. The time is now. The urgency is real. To recommit ourselves to Christ, to strive to be like a star shining in the darkness, a saint for all the world to see. The time is now. Now and now.